Isn't this a sports show?
Clinton has said accurately, I might add, on the Facebook page. Almost entirely sports. A show where Josh reads all of his tweets. And I have no counter-argument to that. That is true and fair.
Almost entirely.
Excuse me. I'm talent, sir. Unhand me.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I am Joshua Briscoe. Rudy with the reverse slam. Beard with a judgmental gaze. What's up, Beards? How you doing?
I'm here.
Take the show with you by listening on the Sports Radio 810 mobile app at 810WHB.com or by searching for Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts.
Is this the most important thing I could be talking about? Well, I mean, probably not. Debatable.
This is Almost Entirely Sports on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
We got a little bit of news. We got a whole handful of things we haven't talked about yet this week. We've got a couple of illustrious guests. That's how we're going to wrap up this week of Almost Entirely Sports. I'm Joshua Briscoe. Rudy Salazar right here on the other side of the console. Beards McFly on the other side of the glass. And I can't get the video feed pop up on my monitor in here. And I got it. Look at that. Look at me. Look at us. Beards, am I a little off-center to you?
I'm working on it.
Is it a little loud?
Beards, I think the volume is great. I want you to know that I think the volume is great.
Thank you.
It is good.
I popped up another 100 followers on Twitter. Not 100 followers, but I went to a new metric at some point today there. 12,300. Thank you very much.
Almost nice.
Not
1, 2,
quite.
3.
I mean, it is 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, that is in fact nice.
It's a different kind of nice, but it's nice.
I believe that we either have breaking news or it will. Oh, it has landed. It is official. We have a champion in our Almost Entirely Sports Pokey Bracket. Beards, do you have the music? You have the music that I did not tell you that we need ahead of time?
No, you didn't tell me that.
Well, I told you last night.
Was it Rowlett?
I told you last night. Agumon is the champion. We'll give you that in a second. It has just gone final. And I will be tweeting out the officially finalized bracket.
All right, you ready?
Because I was prepared. Breaking news at the start of the show.
Rowlett's the best Pokemon.
Beards, can I get the breaking news sound effect first, please?
Yes, breaking news
at the start of the show.
As soon as I get to the page.
Breaking news. The champion of the Almost Entirely Sports Poke Bracket. In a sizable victory in the national championship game, with 66.5% of the votes.
Dang.
Nearly got Larry Johnson involved in that percentile. Charizard defeats Pikachu in the Poke Bracket! Congratulations to Charizard. We now go live to Charizard for his acceptance speech. And cut. Thank you, Charizard, for your beautiful comments. That was touching. Well, you thanked your mother. She's the real MVP. Wow.
And that poor reporter is on fire.
And that reporter has turned into ashes.
Well,
from ash to ashes.
Turned into ash.
Ash to ashes. He tried to catch them all.
Couldn't catch them all.
His last name is Ketchum.
But he couldn't catch them all. That last one.
Because that last one lit him on fire.
Yeah. He tried.
So there you go. That long national nightmare is over. If you love Pokemon, that bit unfortunately is gone. If you don't really give a bleep about Pokemon, congratulations, you're welcome.
We're going to stop talking about Pokemon in this show.
Well,
there's a game coming out at the end of the month, please.
Oh, that's a great point. But I told you that would be finalized at the beginning of tonight's show. We had it all lined up.
Gen 2.
Sizable victory for Charizard.
That's next year.
We might. I don't know, man. We'll see.
Summer might get bad.
It was the summer might need it. That's fair. If the Royals don't win more baseball games. And also, most importantly, it was just a decent amount of work making that bracket every bleeping round.
Oh, I mean, I didn't find it that challenging.
No,
personally.
No, Beards. Yeah. How was it for you? Was that ever a challenge for you?
It was nice and quite pleasant. Yeah. Relaxing.
Yeah.
Well,
2-3, I think, or 2-1. I think we win the vote here. Gen 2!
Starting tomorrow.
Yep. Monday when we have a show.
Seed that. Get your work in.
So that's finalized. A handful of things we'll talk about over the course of the show. It's Friday, so we got Mick Schaefer, 41 Action News. He'll close out the show with us at 9 o'clock tonight, last hour with Mick, the final of the week. And also here, in a little under an hour, we'll chat with Alec Lewis of The Athletic. There's no Royals game tonight. My apologies. I'm sorry for asking them to not have games on Fridays. But they don't have one. And that means we can dig in a little bit with Alec and not have to worry about him covering the game or, waiting on a Zoom or coming up with a brilliant way to ask Mike Matheny or really a brilliant way to ask Brad Keller if he's feeling right, which is a tough needle to thread after his last two starts mm-hmm. were a mess. So we'll talk to Alec about a whole bunch of those things in a little while. Also, over the course of this hour, there's just a bunch of stuff that has sort of fallen down the Google Doc sheet for this show, and I'm bringing a bunch of them up to the top because I want to talk about them over the course of this hour as we head into the end of the week. Because there wasn't like any big piece of Chiefs news today, which is we're getting nearer and nearer to a point where that's going to become the default more than the exception. It's been quiet now for a while. I'm not super worked up about their special teamer fullback, and I'm not super worked up at this point anymore about Austin Blythe or Jaron Reed. We can talk about the vacancies still on the left tackle position, but that's not new. We've been talking about that now since they cut Eric Fisher and Mitchell Schwartz, so we'll get to some of those things. Also, I think that there's some stuff around the NFL draft that's kind of interesting. The real news of the day is still, I definitely want to mention it here at the top because it is the news of the sports world today, but it's still, and this probably is never really going to stop being this way, it's all still very murky. We've got over the last 48 hours, certainly, the ball has moved quite a bit on the Deshaun Watson story, where you've had, we heard from Rusty Harden, his lawyer today, we've heard from Tony Busby, and a couple of the victims who came forward to speak to the media yesterday. We do know now that the alleged victims are going to have to put their names on these things and come out publicly, which obviously ends up being a complicating factor for them, but also, generally speaking, makes sense on behalf of, you know, of Deshaun Watson needing to know who it is that's accusing you of things. Although it did just strike me that they did have that long list of masseuses who came out and said our time with Deshaun Watson was fine. So I guess the defense probably had a decent idea at this point but I guess you wouldn't know all the specifics and mm-hmm. who would all come out and all of those things. So that's sort of the update, is that the women who are accusing Deshaun Watson of these various things are going to have to put, they're going to, if they want to proceed, they'll have to agree to come out publicly with Tony Busby representing them. And most of them have already agreed to do that. Some still up in the air. I believe they have until Tuesday to figure that out and to refile. That's all within the legal nitty gritty. We also heard from Watson's defense, admission that there were at least some sexual encounters throughout with some of the accusing. It wasn't all of them, and they maintained that it was all consensual. That does not jive with the stories from these women and all these accusers, but all of those things have just sort of continued to pile up over the course of these last couple of days. At this point, I don't know that anything. I think it's worth noting what has happened so far, what has been added in, because part of the reason that the story was a tough sort of starter at the beginning was because we're talking about civil cases with some vague details and then a small and then growing number of accusers stepping in. So whenever it was very up in the air, whenever there were predominantly unknowns, I think it was, at least for a while, reasonable to say, like, we'll address this whenever I have more information. Right now, this is all very, very, very real. Like, things are hitting the fan over the course of whatever the civil suit ends up being. I saw that Daniel Lust, we had on the show, he's at Sports Law Lust on Twitter. he had said in a show he was on, something he had written, in, I think it was today, that at this point there's a point of no return, especially for Deshaun Watson, where if you settle out of court at this point, that's going to be perceived fairly or unfairly as an admission of guilt. I personally am not super bothered by the idea that at least one of these accusing women was looking for a settlement before all this became public previously. I guess if you want to call it, I mean, if it's a lie, it is extortion or blackmail or whatever. And if it's true, it's looking for a settlement so you don't take all of this out into the public sphere and then you yourself become a public figure. And you do not want to be someone accusing a beloved, powerful figure of something heinous that's going to make your life a whole lot worse as you deal with all that. So anyway, it's all very complicated and there's still a lot of moving parts, but I at least wanted to sort of present that out there as a thing that happened today that is of note, that is going to impact the next several steps here. The one part of all of this that we haven't talked about very much, because I think this part of it can seem, I don't think it's necessarily a good thing to always immediately go from the larger story at hand with all the ramifications to immediately go to the practical, because that often can come off as quite harsh, I think. But in the space that we're in right now, I was listening to The Right Time with Bomani Jones and Dominic Foxworth. They're doing that on Fridays now. And I think it was Bomani that brought up the point of, think about David Culley right now, the new head coach of the Houston Texans. He came into that job knowing, hey, I'm probably not going to have Deshaun Watson next year, but I probably will have a whole bunch of draft picks to work with over the next couple of years. And I might ultimately get fired by Jack Easterby so he can hire Josh McCown in like 2 years. But you know what? I'm going to take this paycheck. I'm going to take this job because I'm probably not going to get another opportunity to be a head coach of an NFL football team.
Yep.
And now all of this happens. And what Bomani was pointing out was, what if Deshaun Watson, what if all of this doesn't get any clearer and there is no more, nothing more sort of cemented by camp time? And what if Deshaun Watson does show up to camp? And that struck me because, man, David Culley already has maybe the single most difficult job in the NFL right now, certainly among NFL head coaches. And it's gotten worse since he signed on the dotted line, and it could still get even more difficult for what, for all intents and purposes, is a good dude taking his one shot to be an NFL head coach. That's by no means the most important thing in this story, but I hadn't given that any thought. And it's also, by the way, one of the reasons that I think at this point it is a pretty safe bet that Deshaun Watson's probably not going to be at camp, is not going to be on the field in week one. Because at this point, whenever you talk about, again, also, I think it was Bomani that said, hey, these are Bill Cosby numbers. Like, that, we're not at a point where you've got a civil suit between Deshaun Watson and one anonymous accuser, and you're in he said, she said territory. And even, frankly, you can step back in time in the NFL a little bit to the Ben Roethlisberger story. And if that Ben Roethlisberger story happens today, it probably goes differently. Mm-hmm. Something else I hadn't really thought of that popped up on The Right Time was that I can't remember now. It was someone in law enforcement, if memory serves, who said, hey, man, like, essentially, we think you did this thing. We just can't totally put a bow on it.
Yeah.
So we're going to just have to move on. If that's multiplied by something like two dozen, this is the entire point of the commissioner's exempt list. This is for while you figure out other stuff. And if you can get it cleaned up by the time the season starts, if you get it figured out with the league, you get it figured out with your team, whatever that may be. I'm speaking now obtusely on purpose, just in everything that has led to the commissioner's exempt list. You don't have to run it through the Players Association and through suspensions and through the team and all that. literally Roger Goodell can go essentially, all right, yeah, you got to hang out over here for a second because we're going to try to figure out what we are supposed to do throughout all of this. The biggest quote-unquote advantage for the NFL, again, not that this is the most important part of it, but it's just something we haven't talked about very much. The advantage, air quotes again, that the NFL has here is that this stuff started coming out in late February, early March. It, honestly, in a lot of ways, think about how the NFL ended up being able to handle the COVID, just like just the timeline last year. They had to make the draft virtual, and they had to make OTAs virtual and all that stuff. But ultimately, they got to kind of just like push back and wait a little bit. In a weird way, they've gotten a similar positive break in a very, very, very negative situation with Deshaun Watson, where they can just say, hey, we're going to say nothing and do nothing, because right now there's nothing to suspend him from. The Texans are not going to send him out for any sort of community outreach activities.
Doesn't seem likely.
Probably not going to happen.
But I mean, hey, they've made a lot of bad decisions over the last, you know, 24 months. So
somehow I think they would have found a way to top themselves if they would have done. But it's a fair point, Rudy. Absolutely fair point.
Maybe Easterby is just like, hey,
let's just pretend this is over. Let's just move on past it. Also, by the way, I don't think we mentioned this yesterday, but Nike suspended their relationship with Deshaun Watson, which is kind of interesting because it's not cutting you off, but it's also, hey man, we don't need you to do anything right now for us. You just stay over there, which makes sense.
Yep.
Beats either suspended their relationship or dropped them completely. I can't remember what the terminology of it was, but whatever sponsors start moving, that's also a pretty good indicator of just the way the river is flowing at that point.
Beats ended it.
They just dropped completely.
Yes.
Yeah,
Nike suspends, Beats drops.
That, I do think that that's noteworthy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and not to get like totally off topic, but it's like we talked about last week, about a MLB All-Star thing. Like,
yep.
And then the news came out that the reason why we were surprised MLB got out kind of in front of something. And the reason why was because of companies like Coca-Cola, companies that sponsor, that have partnerships with baseball, came to baseball. It's like, hey, we're not cool with this.
There was a little bit of talk about like where players talking about boycotting, and that may have come around.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been listening to podcasts today, folks. Pablo Torre was talking to Howard Bryant on ESPN Daily.
I like that guy.
Did you listen to that podcast?
I haven't listened to today's yet. I've not gotten a chance to listen to
it. I think it was yesterday's.
Yesterday's. I've listened to yesterday's.
Okay, there
we go. I haven't listened to today's. Yes.
It's a good listen about that whole story, the whole situation. Yeah. Howard Bryant is excellent.
Sorry, for some reason, when you said, I was thinking I have no idea what today's is, but I was thinking maybe you were saying there was a Deshaun Watson thing today.
MLB moving out of Georgia. I thought they did a good job covering a whole bunch of angles of that.
He's really good.
Yeah, they're both excellent.
I'm just going to hype. I'll always hype up Pablo Torre. Big Pablo Torre fan.
But so what the point that Howard Bryant made was, yeah, I mean, now a bunch of players said that they were going to be there, and I think there was talk that again, one of the managers for one of the All-Star teams.
It would be Dave Roberts.
It was Dave Roberts.
Thank you, Dave Roberts. Kevin Cash.
It was not Kevin Cash
because Kevin Cash is the manager of the
Rays. Yes. I was doing a lot of back. I was like, hold on. Yes. It was Rays, Dodgers. However long that pause was how long it took for me to go, the managers of the All-Star teams are the managers of the previous year's World Series.
And then I had
last year was Dodgers, Rays.
I was like, wait a second. Who was
it? It's not the Rays manager. Who is the Dodgers manager? Dave Roberts. However long that pause took is how long it took for me to do those processes.
Why couldn't it be the Rays manager? Because he's white. That's why.
Well, and also, I definitely wasn't Kevin Cash.
Yeah.
He was too busy.
Kevin Cash would have pulled too soon. Yeah.
That's it. That's the joke. Absolutely. Absolutely. Kevin Cash would have announced his boycott before that bill had even gotten passed.
Yes.
Before
it was even introduced.
Absolutely. He would have, immediately after losing the World Series. That's a pretty good joke. That's a pretty good baseball joke.
Thank you.
But there was some talk about Dave Roberts maybe not managing in the All-Star game. The thing that Howard Bryant and a handful of others have mentioned is, hey, what baseball did was they made a decision about the size of the headaches that they were interested in,
mm-hmm.
and they made a corporate decision.
Yes.
That is also happening around Deshaun Watson with yeah. Nike and Beats and whatnot. A little tangent, but a relatively tight tangent.
For sure.
Still, oh,
yeah, we got
you,
a little off.
Ballpark.
Little, we made a joke.
We did get a joke in.
We forgot a little bit about who was in the World Series because last year was just a blur. Let's
kinda
be honest.
Kind of fuzzy.
I don't
foggy.
Remember what was what.
I just remember that Blake Snell got pulled too early.
Yeah.
Maybe. Hashtag analytics, you know. I remember a lot of people tweeting about how analytics took an L that day, even though the Dodgers are like one of the most analytically driven teams in baseball.
It's very true. Kevin Cash just, you know, stuck with the girl that he took to prom, you know, the whole way. He was like, hey, this is how I did things all year long. That's how I'm going to keep doing things.
I guess that I was going to say it would be the inverse because he didn't do that in the specifics of the game, but he did over the specifics of the year. Yeah,
fun fact, the guy who runs the Dodgers.
Yes.
Is the guy who made the Rays.
Correct.
And so, they do things, both teams do things the exact same way. Now we've really gotten off track.
I love that that's what this conversation has gotten. We're talking about
Deshaun Watson
losing sponsorships.
Nike suspends Dr. Dre.
Commissioner's exemplist.
No, not kills. Drops.
Why are you killing Dr. Dre?
I said Dr. Dre kills.
Dr. Dre is fine.
Dr. Dre's not killing anybody.
Did he have like an aneurysm recently?
Wait, Dr. Dre.
Dr. Dre is fine.
Is he?
Dr. Dre is alive. DMX died today, which is a bummer. Dr. Dre, I do think Dr. Dre had like a health thing recently,
did.
Right?
I just typed in Dr. Dre. Dr. Dre's got other issues. Dr. Dre's alleged mistress is fine for wasting divorce court's time.
Oh, wow. I didn't.
8 hours ago. Wow, we really got off track.
Wow.
We got off track talking about how we didn't get off track, and that's what got us off track.
And now we are off track because I'm learning some things about Dr. Dre that I did not know about.
For a second, I actually thought Dr. Dre might have passed away because I did remember the brain aneurysm. And
I think he had a brain aneurysm.
You frequently, you hear brain aneurysm, you expect the worst.
It's a tough one, yeah.
Yeah. So all of a sudden, I was like, wait, did I just walk down a rabbit hole I don't want to walk down? But he's alive. Dr. Dre's fine. Deshaun Watson's not.
He is alive,
yes.
though, just to keep clarifying.
R.I.P. Eloy Jimenez.
Well, the segment was serious at one point.
Yeah, honestly, I'm glad that we found a little bit of an escape hatch, because I think I said everything that I wanted to say.
Yeah.
The commissioner's exemplist basically exists like for this reason, and I think Deshaun Watson's eventually going to end up on it,
mm-hmm.
and he probably wasn't trying to play for the Texans this year anyway. The NFL has an advantage of the timeline of all of this. Imagine if all of this would have started happening in week 4.
Oh,
after he had gotten traded to the Panthers or something.
Yep.
Who, by the way, you know who we haven't talked about at all this week? We have not talked about Sam Darnold trade at all.
How's Carolina?
I'm loving it there.
Nice.
Thank you.
Teddy Bridgewater are going to be on the move again.
I also think there's another NFL quarterback thing that we're not talking about, just sort of universally, that I think is kind of funny. And it is significantly less serious. So I think we're okay. I think we're okay with that. Also, I saw there's a question on the Twitch from JT about the over-under of total masseuses. He said, I think his own attorney today said something along the lines of he gets roughly 2 or 3 a week, and he was out here using IG for it, not Yelp or whatever, but he was using Instagram to book masseuses. 2 or 3 a week puts you like 100 to 150.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
I'm not an athlete. This may shock people. I'm not an athlete.
It is stunning to me. Yeah.
So I do imagine that obviously that athletes in general do get massages frequently because it's just good for the body, right?
Sure.
If you're an athlete,
I imagine you have the money for it.
Exactly.
Right.
I imagine it is frequent. Again, I would just assume you have a select few.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe it's not just one, and part of this may depend, right? Maybe you have one in the city you play in.
Sure.
But maybe you're not living in that city year round, so you have one in the city you live in. maybe you've got one in other AFC South cities because you spend a lot of time there because you're more likely to be there.
I mean, honestly, you're there for
2 days.
It's a quick turnaround.
But maybe have like 2, 3, 4, right? Maybe you got one on backup in case person number maybe in your main city person number one.
Sure, you have a really hard time getting to 150.
You got backup.
Though. Yeah. Here are two anecdotal things, okay? These are not claims they're going to hold up in court.
But also, not a professional athlete. Just want to put that out there.
Well, here's the thing. Do you know how many professional athletes I have seen tweet about this and say, yeah, that's normal? The number is zero. Zero. Like today, I saw Jeff Schwartz tweeted one of those numbers about what I just, the 150, whatever.
Yeah.
He goes, that's not really how professional athletes use masseuses.
Yeah.
And Mike Golick responded, and he was like, yeah, no. Like,
yeah.
Nobody. Here's the thing. Also, with the fact that Watson's attorney today said that there were like sexual encounters, but they were all consensual or whatever. The absolute like best case scenario for Watson at this point is that he is a weird dude with an extremely strange fetish, I guess.
Because
habit at best, and also I think to say that a bunch of these are true and they all did consensually and none, all of these women are lying is just a pretty wild logical leap. Whenever so many other of the stepping stones along the path are like, that's weird, that doesn't seem very believable, mm-hmm. that's very strange. If you don't have return business to the same like handful of people, it's weird, man. And also, by the way, you have SI's investigation into their story, and you've got other like DM screenshots and whatnot. That just exists. Like, that is information in the world at this point.
The thing I'm super confident with saying is that we obviously don't know for a fact like what exactly Deshaun Watson did, what is illegal, right? Like, we weren't there. One thing I'm confident with saying is if you have that many people of accusing you of something, you are at the very least doing something immoral, right? Not, you're doing something wrong, right? Maybe it's not, again, you could even say to a degree that it's not breaking a law, right? Or you weren't committing, you're doing something weird. You're being a creep at the very least.
Yeah, and not reading the room or whatever.
That's at the very least.
And by the way, I didn't know that you felt this. I didn't know that I was making you feel this way is a very common wobbly shield held up by people caught in abuse, mm-hmm. and it doesn't hold a lot of water. So, I think that's fair. Beard, your mic's been on for a minute. Go ahead.
Yes. For whatever reason, Facebook comments aren't showing up on our little chat thing, so I wanted to point this out from Michael on the AES Facebook page. Can you imagine if... I'm going to edit basically what he said and fix it a little bit to what I'm... Can you imagine if the Chiefs had drafted him instead of Mahomes?
Yeah, it'd be bad.
And then they had won the Super Bowl anyway.
Bad.
And then all of this came out?
It's all bad. It's all extremely bad.
We got lucky, man.
The other thing that I thought about, and this is just sort of I don't know. This might be framed unfairly because like even invoking Mahomes' name anywhere around this feels unfair because it's just a very bad, everything is so bad. You don't want to be anywhere near this. But like the very first couple of reports, I remember seeing. I think Ben Albright tweeted out like a quote from a teammate of Deshaun Watson's, who's like, "That's not who this dude is at all." I'd be stunned if this was legit. And then 24 more accusations followed that.
Mm-hmm.
Like it just as an exercise of feeling what people, what Texans fans, the organization, I could kind of give a bleep about, right? But to understand where Texans fans are at right now and how they're feeling throughout all of this, it's your franchise quarterback in the same draft. Like, I'm trying not to be like, it'd be like if Patrick Mahomes is accused of a series of terrible crimes. Because that's not fair at all.
Not fair for him.
But, like, Deshaun Watson jerseys are... J.J. Watt's gone, too, by the way. Quick, name another Houston Texan.
DeAndre Hopkins.
Laremy Tunsil.
Tunsil is what I would have said, but what you could have just said, Beards, is any washed-up running back, that would have
David
qualified.
David Johnson, I think, resigned.
I think you're right.
Is Will Fuller still there?
No.
No. Where did he end up?
Green Bay? I think it was Green Bay.
Can we get
what?
Can we get a Matt Schaub jersey?
Where's the Will Fuller guy?
I don't think he's in Green Bay.
I don't know. Let's see. Will Fuller. Miami Dolphins.
Nobody likes my Matt Schaub
idea. I was close. I mean, I was real close.
Yeah, Miami, Green Bay.
They're greenish colors.
Tomato, potato.
They're greenish colors. I don't even remember him signing with Miami.
I
remember him signing with Green Bay. So.
Right, yeah. I mean, yeah, fair enough at this point.
Signed a one-year deal.
I'm glad the Chiefs drafted Patrick Mahomes, you guys. Just as like a general, just a general reminder.
And I'm a little bummed the Chiefs didn't sign Will Fuller.
Yeah, no, dude, me too. It would have been nice. I would have enjoyed that.
That might have been pretty good.
Would have enjoyed that very much. I think he's been there for the first game of the year still, but.
Oh, yeah, yeah, there's that. But still.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I'll take 15 games Will Fuller.
Well, 13.
I'm not sure he's played. Actually, you know what? He'll play 16 games this year. Well, he'll be.
He'll have a chance.
He'll be not suspended for 16 games this year.
Yeah.
Will Fuller has a prolonged injury history.
And then the 1 year he doesn't get hurt, he gets busted for PEDs?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Wonder if there's any correlation there.
Nah, probably not.
Probably not. Let's take a break. Whenever we come back, we're going to have a much less serious, much lighter conversation about not current NFL quarterbacks, incoming NFL quarterbacks. Draft talk next!
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
I'm really not trying to be defensive or rude to you, YouTube commenter. I'm sorry that
he's
I almost certainly sound defensive here.
He's just a mean boy.
I'm just a mean boy. I'm this mean to everyone, not just you.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Can confirm.
But I all shut up, beards.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I don't really want to get all the way up into the nitty-gritty of the top of the NFL draft, but I was thinking about this like a couple of days ago. And it's really actually happening even farther down the draft board than I was thinking as of a couple of days ago. If I ask you, Rudy,
mm-hmm.
which quarterback
69.
Right now... What?
I said 69. That's where I would draft the first quarterback.
So, Beards, if I was going to ask you...
Yes. 420!
Okay, I'm ready to play. I'm ready to play.
Which quarterback in this draft class we have talked about the most lately,
mm-hmm.
who would it be?
Well, so like when you say we, do you mean we or
no,
the draft community we? I
definitely don't mean we.
Yeah.
I also don't mean almost entirely sports. I mean national.
I don't think we did any draft talk.
I mean national sports NFL media. Like, who's the quarterback who has the highest Google ping right now?
I mean, right now it's probably Zach Wilson because Trevor Lawrence clearly won, but like
we don't
because
need to talk
he's
about
clearly
him.
Won.
He's,
yeah,
he's set.
I would say it's like Zach Wilson right
you
now.
You guys are playing right into my hands. Who would be second? Headlines. Number
probably
of
Matt
headlines.
Jones. Right?
I think that's probably right.
Yeah.
I think next
then Fields
is I think
three.
Justin I think I would actually say at this point
maybe is I would say 3-4 is one order of Fields and Lance.
I think Fields might be number 1 because here anyway, those none of those are really you gave mm-hmm. me the good job guys.
I gave you the answers.
You gave
you
me
wanted.
The answers I wanted.
Yeah, we did.
I think at this point Zach
Wait,
Wilson
was the answer 69.
Yes, I think Zach Wilson is relatively
you're
locked.
420.
No. I think Zach Wilson is relatively locked in the number 2.
Mm-hmm.
So he's kind of maybe it's falling a little bit, but tons of talk about Justin Fields
because yeah.
he seems like one of the only guys who's kind of mobile right now. Not literally, I guess they're talking about Mac Jones and him. But Trey Lance is brought up plenty. Mac, it feels sort of like a Justin Fields, Mac Jones conversation at 3 overall.
Yeah.
Zach Wilson is interesting, but it seems like he's pretty much locked in to go number 2. But
seems likely.
The thing that I found interesting just sort of thinking about this as I am, you know, known to do in my free time. I could not tell you the last time I so much as saw a Trevor Lawrence clip on television. I haven't seen a headline. I haven't seen a tweet.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen a story. We will talk about everybody else And there's a world, by the way, where quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, 4. Yep. And I don't think the Bengals will trade back because I think they'll take Pitts or Sewell at 5. And one of those dudes will definitely be there because the quarterbacks are definitely going 1, 2, 3.
It would be surprising to me if the Bengals didn't take either Ja'Marr Chase or Pitts or Sewell. Like, to me, it's going to be add a playmaker.
Chase, that's fine.
And the reason why I'm including him is just it's top receivers, top tight end, it's top offensive tackle.
They're going to have their choice of at least two of those three.
Yeah, because there's 1, 2, 3's quarterback. 4 seems likely because it's either going to be the Falcons maybe going after quarterback,
yep,
or if they trade down, like is thought, nobody's trading up to 4 unless they're drafting a quarterback, in my opinion. Maybe not. Maybe you're like, hey, I don't want to risk losing Sewell. But my guess is if you trade up to 4, it's to go get a quarterback.
I think you're probably right. The thing about that, though, that I just think is so interesting is that, I mean, even last year, like, Joe Burrow was going to go 1.
Yeah.
That got decided pretty early on.
We were confident.
Early on in the draft season, you know? Even as we had conversations,
once
obviously
Tua
about...
Once Tua got hurt, it was basically... And even a little before then, I would say Burrow was
number one. But it was going to be Burrow, Tua, and then Tua got hurt.
And then it was just Burrow's the guy.
And then we had some Justin Herbert conversations, all that stuff. I just think, I don't have like a take. I'm not saying that we needed to do anything to fix this atrocity. But I just think it's kind of interesting that here's what I'll connect it to. Remember when last year, like, Patrick Mahomes was playing good football and everyone was like, why aren't we, like, how are we not talking about Patrick Mahomes in the MVP conversation? How is Josh Allen getting more votes than Patrick Mahomes come MVP time?
Yeah.
We collectively are bored of Trevor Lawrence, and he's not even an NFL player yet. Mm-hmm. He was just incredibly good at Clemson. He's going to be the number one overall pick. He was locked in to be the number one.
Decided that 3 years ago.
He was locked in to be the number one overall pick before we knew who was picking there. He was the number one overall pick, really, at draft time last year.
He was honestly, and like, he was pretty much the number one. He was projected to be the number one pick in his draft once he made his first college start.
Right.
Much.
No. Like, yeah. I think Beards. Like, I think that's a good call.
Yeah. Like he's been the guy since he was in high school. Is like, this is going to be a future number one pick.
We've seen and heard that about a lot of guys who eventually fall off,
yeah,
and he never fell off.
Yeah.
But I
Fun
just think
fact
it's crazy.
About him.
He will be taken number one overall. He will go to Jacksonville. And even after the season starts, I think we might end up talking more about Zach Wilson in New York,
yes,
or whoever ends up being Shanahan's quarterback,
yep,
in San Francisco. Those guys are probably going to get more conversation time even within the season, even if they're not playing as well, because Trevor Lawrence is already being treated like a really excellent quarterback.
And Trevor Lawrence, one, he's in Jacksonville, which that's just going to hurt talk. But two, he's going to be overshadowed in Jacksonville because Urban Meyer is head coach.
Yeah.
Like, Urban Meyer is going to get a lot, which honestly, like, maybe for Trevor Lawrence, maybe that's what you want, right? Maybe that's a good thing. But fun fact about Trevor Lawrence, he will not, if I'm correct on this, not be eligible for the College Football Hall of Fame because he never won a Heisman and also never was a consensus All-American, even though
really?
He is like one of the most talented quarterbacks. But like, he's just kind of had like a little bit of bad luck along the way. Good chance he wins the Heisman last year if he never misses games due to COVID.
Mm.
Then he ran into that whole like Kyler Murray, Baker, I think his freshman year was Baker, which his freshman year he was playing a little bit with Kelly Bryant, but like he ran into Kyler Murray basically his sophomore year where Kyler Murray was just like absurd.
Yeah.
Like he just kind of ran into like a little bit of bad luck that way with other quarterbacks, but yeah, fun little Trevor Lawrence fact.
That was really fun.
Yeah.
I just think it's a really interesting little pocket,
yeah,
where he has fallen into this spot where he is universally expected to be the number one. I mean, he's going to be the number one pick, and he's universally expected to be the best player out of this draft class, which is not always the same thing, right? And I've heard more people talking about Kyle Pitts these last couple of weeks than Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah. We've gotten bored.
Because he's more like, yeah, because we've gotten bored by his excellence, and he has not even been drafted into the league yet.
And the one thing, and this isn't going to happen because everybody, like Trevor Lawrence will go number one, but a lot of times what happens then is the next step is we get so bored, we start to like kind of tear that player down a little bit, and then we elevate somebody else.
Yep.
And now that's not going to happen at least in terms of draft status. He's going to go number one, but also there's a chance, and like, I won't be surprised by it at all. when you start seeing the, you know, hey, Mac Jones actually is probably going to be the better quarterback because right. in part because of where he's ending up at, right? Right. Like Mac Jones is going to have more of an impact year one. He'll actually maybe be the favorite for rookie of the year from some people. Zach Wilson's going to be in New York, so obviously, like, there's it's New York, so you're just going to get a lot of media hype behind that. Like, that will be the next step.
I'm on Tankathon's NFL mock draft site because I just wanted to have the draft order up in front of me, and I like Tankathon.
I've got a mock draft up, too. When you're done, I want to read you a sentence I just find funny.
Ooh, excellent. It's just a draft board, but they have Trey Lance falling to 9 and going to Denver.
This
and
one has,
I wouldn't care for that.
Yeah, I
wouldn't
love this one. Has them going to 8 to Carolina.
That's fine.
So, yeah.
That's fine with me. Boy, they're got a lot of quarterbacks, huh?
There are.
Which is
going to be fun. Like, this draft is going to be funny at the top because of the quarterbacks. Because even though, like, we believe Zach Wilson's going to go to, there are, like, right, there's always at least that chance. Like, this mock draft here has Justin Fields going to, but the thing that I like about it is the sentence is just very funny. Why is Fields going to? Yes, the general consensus is that Zach Wilson will be the Jets pick. But Robert Saleh is a blue-collar defensive coach who probably loved watching Fields' gutsy performance in Ohio State's win over Clemson in this year's Sugar Bowl. Along with being a strong, durable quarterback, Fields was excellent at taking care of the ball. The rest is not that funny. But I just like that.
Put him on blast, Rudy. Whose mock draft is this?
It was a guy I hadn't heard of. I'm scrolling to the top.
What is the platform?
It is a CBS. It is Brian DiArdo. I've never honestly heard of him.
More like Brian DiFarto.
Got him. He also has Trevor Lawrence listed as beyond his gaudy college record, the 6'2", 220-pound Lawrence has the physical tools that quarterbacks need to have to flourish in today's NFL. Trevor Lawrence is 6'6".
What?
Now, that might be a typo, but...
Well, I mean, the 2 and the 6 aren't that close together. No. There's 3 numbers between them.
There is. And you do hit those numbers with different hands.
Yeah.
So it's not like maybe like you just like use the same hand, right? Your fingers just get a little mixed up.
I'm sorry for calling you Brian DiFarto, Brian. I don't know you, but I didn't like your analysis very much right there. You may be a perfectly nice man.
I mean, he probably is.
You he also has should probably the, just like Google Trevor Lawrence. Just Google Trevor Lawrence height.
This is the Falcons drafting Kyle Pitts.
I think that would be kind of fun.
Back-to-back receivers back-to-back-to-back. 5'7", Ja'Marr Chase, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle. I still haven't actually scrolled to see who he has the Chiefs taken.
I mean, you got to tell us.
Oof, you're not going to like this.
No good.
It's a running back. It's not. A running back went right before the Chiefs. Christian Barmore, defensive line, Alabama, which honestly kind of feels right. If they went after a defensive lineman early, it's just because this team loves defensive linemen. Like if you just told me
When was that published? They're not going to draft an interior. They're not going to draft an interior defensive lineman.
Josh,
you can tase
Josh?
Rudy.
No.
If they draft an interior defensive lineman,
no.
Rudy agreed to it.
I got it.
Rudy agreed to it. It's marked. It's law. Stone tablet. If the Chiefs take an interior defensive lineman, Rudy's going to get electrocuted on the show. You can tase him.
Not true.
Everyone listening can tase Rudy if the Chiefs draft an interior defensive lineman.
Not true.
I'll be first in line, and everybody can do it. Nope. BYOT, baby.
Nope.
Bring your own taser.
Nope.
Bring your BYOT TTR. Bring your own taser to tase Rudy.
No.
Day after the draft.
No.
Regardless of who the Chiefs take.
No.
Having a party. Socially distanced. Gotta be. I have good aim. Gotta get him.
Except
from,
when you're tasing.
Gotta get him from 6 feet away.
Who is Mac Jones falling to 19 to the Washington football team? He has a lot of running backs going in the first round.
That seems right.
Like 3 of them.
This dude's really living up to my first impressions of him.
He has the Dolphins drafting running back with the 18th pick.
Beards, get him on the phone. I want him on next segment.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
The problem is that I the joke was so bad that I did find it funny. It was just sort of all of the frivolities that got us there that really it made it not feel quite so worth it, you know?
Yeah, 99% of people have no idea what you just said there. Frivolities. I guarantee you 99% of people listen have no idea what that word means. You know why? I don't know what that word means.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
A quick Twitch update that I'll express through JT's comment saying this sleep music on the breaks is hard to wake up from. Good thing we have Josh's grating voice to bring us back. That's fair. The reason that we have new music, which it is a series of lo-fi hip-hop beats, which is just kind of, it's an aesthetic that I like, especially during a, you know, commercial break on Twitch. I like it, all right? You can direct your complaints to me.
I like it.
The best thing, though, is I was going through a website that we use for all of our, like, royalty-free music that we can use for various radio production and everything, and there was only one album on there that was some form of lo-fi hip-hop, and the album title is called Hashtag 420 Blazing.
Heck yeah.
Having a hashtag in an album title, I don't think, on a royalty-free album title, no less, that no one is tweeting about, and I imagine that hashtag 420 Blaze It probably has tweets not about this royalty-free music, but it all really came full circle, and that's how I knew it needed to be the music of our breaks. Alec Lewis of The Athletic is next.
You are listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.